Verdi, we'll start with you. And I guess for those who aren't familiar with the Dickinson letters, can you give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of what they were about and what their overall message was?
Sure. The Letters from a Pennsylvania Farmer were published in 1767. December 2nd, I think, is the first one. And what they did was to really bring together unity among the colonies to talk about resistance, in a sense, to the Townsend Acts. So in a nutshell, what they did was Dickinson gave the colonies' response to the Townsend Acts, which were a way of raising revenue, but without representation from the colonies. So Dickinson, in a sense, wrote why it was illegal, what Parliament was doing, and also wrote a response of the suspension of the New York legislature. So the New York Assembly was suspended as one of these Townsend Acts. And so Dickinson wrote about why this was illegal and why this was a threat, not only for, at that time, not only for New York, but for all the colonies.
In some ways, I guess it was the beginning of the basis of the concept of taxation without representation being something of a rallying cry as the colonies started to resist the British Crown and Parliament.
So taxation without representation goes all the way back to 1764, which was with the Sugar Acts. So it was something that the colonies, and specifically John Dickinson, had been thinking about. He was part of not only the response to the Sugar Acts, but also he was part of the Stamp Act Congress. So he was part of the protests against the Stamp Act. So the last part was the Townsend Acts, and the Townsend Acts had, in a sense, not the same type of response as the Stamp Act or the Sugar Act, and he was almost mystified where there wasn't such a great response. So the Letters from a Pennsylvania Farmer really emphasize why this was a threat to all the colonies, not just in New York, but why this was an attack on all of us.
And to put it in some context, I mean, this was not really a point in time where there was a lot of consensus in the colonies on all of these issues. It wasn't these letters weren't preaching to the choir. They were really kind of trying to pull together a lot of people with very disparate views.
Exactly. That is exactly what happened. So Dickinson was able to write as a voice to unify the colonies. So up until this point, you have to think, we have separate assemblies. We don't have the same currency. We don't have any type of operating singular government except for the British Parliament. And what the Parliament did was, in a sense, impact all the colonies. And so Dickinson is writing to really unify the response. And these series of letters were so well read, not only in the colonies, but also in Britain and in France, and he had such a following because of it. So Dickinson is known as the penman of the revolution because of how he unified the colonies in their resistance to these acts. It's interesting because there's several different quotes that he uses, and he really talks about that being one of the strengths, really, is to be united and not to allow someone to divide us.
You kind of intimated the response to this. What was the general response within the colonies to these letters?
So he became almost a superstar. He was one of the first really well-known colonists in America. He was probably second only to Benjamin Franklin. So, and it continued all the way through the Revolution and even after the Revolution. Now, Dickinson has a bit of controversy because he did not sign the Declaration of Independence. He abstained from the vote. Yet this man who abstained from the vote marches against the British with his the next day. So Dickinson is a complicated man who's not easy to put into a box. And part of what we do here at the plantation is to talk about who he was and what his lasting legacy was. So Dickinson was, this is the beginning of his career. This is the beginning of how he becomes a voice for what eventually becomes the United States of America. And so many of his thoughts and his philosophies are embedded into what we see today as Americans.
Tell us a little bit more about what his role was after these letters and through the Revolution and into the founding of the country.
So Dickinson, up until 1775, is probably one of the leading voices of what is going on and to really give a sense to the colonists what is happening. Then what happens is we start to march towards war. So Dickinson tries to reason that we might still be able to adapt a constitution within the British system. But Dickinson, by 1776, is no longer really Dickinson at that point realizes that we are about to go towards war. And Dickinson is worried about this prospect because Dickinson has also at this point become the drafter, one of the drafters, one of the first people to draft the Articles of Confederation. So he knows that we have no common currency. We have truly no defense in a sense that we are still trying to, we have no foreign allies, and we are not in the best position to go against Britain. And he worries that there is going to be much bloodshed, much destruction, and we will be brought back under the British after this annihilation as a country. So Dickinson is worried about this prospect. But what he does is interesting because he, on that fateful day, he does not vote against the Declaration of Independence. He's representing Pennsylvania. And at that point, he decides to abstain from the vote so that it carries forward as a united voice. And then literally the next day goes to march to defend his country. So it's interesting because we wrestle with, well, where was he in this? Where, what was his ideals? And Dickinson himself even knows that this is going to be the point in which he loses his popularity. And he even says, I know that I am going to sacrifice some of the popularity that I've gained, but I cannot compromise against my principles. But so he doesn't compromise his principles, but he does everything in his power to defend the country that he is now part of. That includes giving support to the troops. It includes when he resigns his commission, he joins again as a private in the militia, which was not done. A gentleman of his stature did not just shoulder a musket. He also has faces. If he had been found by the British at that point, he would have been hung as a traitor. His house here in Delaware is subject to a Tory raid in 1781. He also has his house in Philadelphia burned to the ground. Now, during this time, it's interesting because in 1781, Dickinson becomes president of Delaware, which was governor, and then during that same time, a year later, becomes president of Pennsylvania. So there's a short, brief time when Dickinson is both president of Delaware and of Pennsylvania. So after that, Dickinson continues in politics, but he becomes part of, he is the chairman of the Annapolis Convention. And what that is where we try to reorganize the Articles of Confederation so that we have an operating doctrine. Well, he realized that was not going to work. I was one of the people to really write a letter to have the Constitutional Convention, which came about, of course, in 1787. And Dickinson was a Delaware representative there, as well as a signer of the U.S. Constitution for Delaware.
Is part of the reason why maybe we don't hear as much about Dickinson and these letters because of this kind of complicated relationship he had with the Declaration of Independence and the start of the Revolution, and as you mentioned, kind of losing maybe his popularity for the way he approached all that?
I think part of it is that Dickinson had a tendency not to toot his own horn in a very sad sense. Dickinson did not brag about what he did. Dickinson left no autobiography of his own. And he even says that I only have daughters. And so he doesn't really try to claim his space really in the pantheon of what you think of as founding fathers. Yet Dickinson, Thomas Jefferson at his death, calls him one of the great worthies of the Revolution. So Dickinson had such a lasting impact on us, but because of the assassination of his character during the Declaration of Independence, that continued on. He dies in 1808, and after that, no one really writes as much about him, and so he just kind of fades from history because of that.
So, Doug, with that in mind, the state is taking some great pains to mark this anniversary and perhaps bring a little bit more light on to John Dickinson. Tell us a little bit about what the state is doing, starting with a website you've created, right?
Yeah, exactly. My boss, the Secretary of State, Jeff Bullock, really decided that this was an opportunity for us in the Department of State, which oversees the state's museums and the John Dickinson Plantation here south of Dover, to bring Dickinson to life for people and to highlight his contributions, not only to Delaware's history, but to the history of the American Revolution, the history of our early republic, again, the drafting of the U.S. Constitution, all of these things that people don't necessarily know the role he played in them. One of the things we decided to do to make that a reality was to sort of compile um, a a crash course, if you will, on John Dickinson for people inside Delaware and outside Delaware and obviously all over the world. The website's de.gov/John Dickinson, and there we've compiled sort of a history of who he was, some of his biographical information. We compiled some really good scholarship about the Letters from a Pennsylvania Farmer, which is the 250th anniversary that we are marking, the publication of those in the winter of 1767-68. And those letters, again, were key to really coalescing the cause of the colonists at a time when the British were ratcheting up their exploitation of the colonies. So just putting that into context, putting some of that scholarship out there in a really digestible format, and coupling that with a series of special events, both here at the Dickinson Plantation in Dover, other sites that that the state administers. We had a wonderful production of dramatized debate between Thomas Jefferson and John Dickinson over the question of independence. We staged that at the old State House on the Green here in Dover. We'll be having some programming that involves the Delaware Public Archives and some of the resources that they have related to the history and life of John Dickinson. University of Delaware, their library has put on display a very old, not an original, but a very old printing of the Letters from a Pennsylvania Farmer. So you can sort of see what the colonists and the people that came immediately after the colonial period would have been reading about John Dickinson. So a lot of great stuff that will culminate with the annual marking of Dickinson's death at the cemetery where he's buried, the Wilmington Friends Cemetery in the city of Wilmington.
And I'll leave you both with this question. I'll start with you, Doug. What are you hoping people come away with from all these events and the website and this attempt to kind of give Dickinson a little bit more light?
Sure. I think that what we'd really like people to come away with is just more of an appreciation for the role that this man who lived here in Delaware, called our state home, was proud to be a Delawarean. The significance that he played in our shared history, and hoping that people can be able to learn a little bit more about that, engage with that history, and come away with a deeper connection to this shared past that we all have.
Bertie, how about you? What do you hope people take away from this celebration of Dickinson and these events and this website?
I agree with everything that Doug just said. I think that's very important. I think it's important for people to realize who John Dickinson was and really to understand he was his different views, and he's a very nuanced, in a sense, character from history. That way you get a chance to see who John Dickinson was by his actions and by his words instead of perhaps something like the play 1776 or the documentary John Adams. Maybe we should think about John Dickinson from his own words and his own actions than from how other people saw him.